Hallelujah. Amen. Wherever you are, you may have your seats. Jesus is alive. The devil is a liar. Can you all say amen? If you are not yet onto the MyFaith.tv Facebook page, quickly go. And I want to ask that you would go into the comment section of Facebook and let us know what is happening in your homes. Let us know what it is that you are expecting from the Lord. For in a moment, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come and is going to touch you. I'm believing for supernatural, radical encounters to take place as we get into His Word, as we delve into the very aspect of divine authority and divine power, that is your portion when you take your rightful place and when you are seated in Christ in heavenly places, that nothing will be impossible to you who believe in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the supernatural. We're talking about the very aspects of the supernatural. God is, by definition, supernatural. The reason we say that is because everything that is above the natural is supernatural. It takes a supernatural God to introduce, to create, to design, to instill and release that which is natural. He is the creator then of the heavens and the earth, the entire known universe. As far as the eye can see, as far as modern day equipment can see, as far as the Hubble Space Telescope can see, is referred to as the known universe. God is the one who opened up His mouth and He spoke with the language of faith. That which is now seen has its origin in the unseen. That which we now redeem and call as visible has its origin in the invisible. Time, space, and matter, you can then say, is in His hands. He is the one who created it. He is the one who spoke it into existence. Genesis 1 verse 1 reveals that time, space, and matter was introduced by no one else but God. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, that's time, God created the heavens, that is space, and the earth, that is matter. God created in verse 1 of Genesis already. It gives us the summary of the very fact that in the very first verse of the Bible, God is the one who introduced time, space, and matter. God, who is spirit, created then all that is natural. God is also the one who introduced what we now call the laws of physics. He introduced powerful forces in the universe. And that all of the universe, in fact, is governed by these universal laws of physics. But He Himself, as the one who created all of these powerful forces, is not bound, nor is He governed by those forces, nor is He governed by those laws. If there's one who is able to defy the laws of nature, it is God. Because nature refers to that which is natural, that is the nature, that which is natural. God is supernatural. He is above the natural, and He is the one who created all that is natural. He has the right, the sole of supreme authority, to defy everything that He has created. Every law, every single force that is at play in the universe, God is greater than. In Genesis 1:26, we in fact read about the fact that God creates man in His very own image and likeness. We share certain attributes of God. He created us not only in His image, but He also created us in His very own image and after His likeness. After He blessed man, He said, let them have dominion over all that is in the air and everything that is upon the earth. In essence then, man was given authority, dominion, the right to rule and reign in the kingdom. Miles Monroe says the first thing that man then received from God was a kingdom. So man was created in the image and likeness of God to rule and reign. Now listen to this, you can write this down. When we walk then in His exousia, which is the Greek word for authority. When we walk in His exousia, we release his dunamis, which is Greek for power. When we walk in his authority, we are able to release his power. It's only then. You cannot release his power unless you are walking in his authority. Now, some might say, well, unlike God, we are natural human beings. We are governed by the laws of nature. We are governed by the powerful forces that we have to contend with in the universe. Now, if we were simply natural, that would be true. However, all of us were born naturally, and we naturally came into this world. This is why we are human beings. But this is the very fact or the very reason why we should be born again. For when you are born again, the Bible reveals that you are not born again because of the desires of man, but that you are then born of the Spirit as a result of a desire of God. You are born of the Spirit then, not of the flesh. And when you are born in the Spirit, this gives you the right then to take your rightful seat in heavenly places. The natural cannot occupy the spiritual, but the spiritual can come and made manifest here in the natural. And so it is that we are not seated in a natural position, but we are in fact seated in a supernatural position, because it's a position that is higher than the natural. We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 reveals that we are a peculiar people, a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. The Passion Translation says it this way: but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are also kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. This is why I make this statement periodically, revealing to you that you therefore are not ordinary. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as many individuals did just prior to this time of me now speaking to you earlier in this broadcast, we are no longer ordinary. We are not average. We are both kings and priests. We are anointed and appointed for a time and a place such as this. In the Old Testament, you didn't have people who were both priests and kings. The only time we have mention of that in the Old Testament is Melchizedek, who is both a priest and a king. The Bible reveals that Jesus is the one who has been anointed in the order of Melchizedek, who is also then a priest and a king. He is the high priest, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in the same way, God reveals that we are a royal priesthood. We are also both priests and kings in the order of Melchizedek. Authority, we've spoken about this at length, is always greater than power. When you walk in God's divine authority, you will have power over all the power of the devil. The devil can come and try and attempt to throw sickness and disease and whatever else at your way. Might come in all kinds of cunning, sly ways to come and distract you. We know that Satan's MO is to come and steal, kill, and destroy. It's no secret. That's what he wants to do. On the other hand, Jesus said, I came to give you life so that you may have it more abundantly until it overflows. That's the promise. And that can be your portion if only you choose to say, Lord, this is your word, and I choose this day to take you at your word. The Bible declares that we have, Jesus gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, many people would point to how powerful the enemy is. I've even met some Christians who would say to me, never ever try and attempt to take on the devil, because the devil is far more powerful than you. What Bible are you reading? You cannot quote Opinions 1 verse 3 and state that this has greater power and authority over the Word of God. I'm not interested in man's opinion. I'm interested in the Word of God. And if Jesus says that you have, we have, I have received authority over all the power of the enemy, the devil is supposed to know that when you approach, he should quiver, tremble in fear, knowing that you are God's anointed who has come to set the captives free, knowing that you are the one who has been anointed and appointed to destroy the work of the devil. Am I speaking to someone here today? I'm speaking to the remnant of God, those who are unashamed, those who will occupy the gates of the enemy, those who will storm the very gates of hell, those who say, I'm unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing on this earth, nothing in heaven will ever keep me from speaking the truth, for keeping silent, I will testify of His goodness. I will speak of the great things that He has done, and I will prophesy that even greater things He will do in and through me in Jesus' name. Can I have a witness? Hallelujah. In Luke 4:18, Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, reading that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and that He has anointed me. As a result of the outpouring of the Spirit, there comes an anointing upon you. The anointing then is the ability for God to use ordinary human beings. And ordinary, we already know, that it refers to you being born of the Spirit, no longer being average. But that when you are filled with His Spirit, there's nothing average about you. For you have been anointed to do His work. In Acts 1:8, it also says that not only will you receive the anointing when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, but you will also receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. That word power is what I said earlier, the word dunamis in Greek. That word dunamis refers to the explosive power of God released to change the physical reality. That is the power that you carry on the inside. It is from this Greek word dunamis that we have then our English word dynamite. This is why you should never underestimate a Christian. And this is why I pray that Christians all around the world that's watching this right now, that there will come an awakening on the inside of you, that there will come a revelation, that you will truly grab a hold of the power that is lying dormant on the inside of you, that you will see the potential of the power that He has already released into your spirit, the power that you are in possession of, the power that you are a carrier of. And I pray that from this day, you will no longer just be a carrier of that power, but you will demonstrate that power and bring change to those around you, change in your community, change in your city, change in your nation, that you will be among those who will once again turn the whole world upside down as you release His power in the name of Jesus. Sokorosata. In the comment section on Facebook, write that down. I am one of those. I am the remnant. When Peter walked on water, he walked in exousia, the authority of God. And it was because of that authority that he was walking in, that he was able to overcome the natural laws of nature. It was because he was walking in authority that he could defy the law of gravity and buoyancy. He was the very first disciple to experience the supernatural. The very first one. The first one to have a taste of the supernatural. He did not walk in on water, you can then say. He walked in authority. That moment he put his foot on that water, naturally, water would not be able to uphold you. You would sink. This is why he was not walking on water. He was walking in divine authority. When you walk in divine authority, nothing will be impossible to you. When you walk in divine authority, you have power, authority over every powerful force. You have authority to defy the laws of physics itself. after Peter received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, we find something interesting that takes place. For after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he is also the first one to operate in the power. Remember in Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to 8, it says, then Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man, and he pulled the man to his feet. Suddenly, power surged into his crippled feet and his ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment stunned, and then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When the power of God is released, one of the marks of the fact that the power of God has been released, it results in people jumping and leaping and praising God. I pray that wherever you go, the next time you walk into the streets, as you carry that power and as you release that power, that people around you will begin to jump, will begin to praise, will begin to leap, praising the name that is above every other name, that precious name. It's the name of Jesus. As a result of them now walking in authority and power, both authority and power, unusual and extraordinary miracles flowed through the apostles. Listen to this in Acts 5 verse 15 in the Passion Translation. It says, in fact, when people knew Peter was going to walk by, how was he walking? He was walking in divine authority and power. They carried the sick out to the streets and lay them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. Now behold, the Greek word translated overshadow is episkiazua, which is used exclusively for the power of the Almighty. When we talk about him overshadowing someone or something, it speaks of a release of the power of the Almighty. This is the same word that is used when the angel reveals that the Spirit of the Lord will overshadow you and you will conceive. This is the same word that describes the cloud. When Jesus was what we now refer to as the Mount of Transfiguration, the cloud overshadowed him. It was a supernatural cloud. And from that cloud emanated supernatural power. In other words, this is not a natural shadow created by light of the sun, but the supernatural overshadowing of God's power coming upon the sick to bring healing. Yes, as they would have looked, they would have seen a natural shadow. But a Christian shadow is not just an ordinary, average shadow. There is more anointing. There is more authority. There is more power in the shadow of a Christian than all the power of every demon, of every spirit in hell combined. So again, I say unto you, you are not average. You are not ordinary. This is why all of the universe, all of creation groans, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. It is time for us to show the world who we are, to reveal our true identity, to strip off the old man, to strip off that which the world has placed upon us, so that Christ Jesus can be revealed through us in Jesus' name. The time has come. The time has come to get rid of the church facade, to get rid of the religious facade, to get rid of that which does not demonstrate and reflect the King and His kingdom. It is time for us to get back to basics, to reveal Christ, to speak the truth in love, to operate in the supernatural, to naturally walk in the supernatural power of God, knowing that we are clothed with authority, that we have received, we've been endowed by His power. How I love Psalm 91, which also talks about an overshadowing. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a place of power. That's a secret place. Not only is the power of God there to strengthen you so that you, through your hands, can lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover, but God will also protect you. You are divinely protected. So even when you go out and it seems like, yes, Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. When you are in the shadow of the Almighty, though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, no evil will come near you. And this is why, even all throughout this lockdown and this quarantine, we've been among those who are on the front lines, distributing aid, being there for people, doing what we can do in this hour, knowing that we are divinely protected. He protects us in the area of our health. He protects us in the area of wealth. And we know that when we walk, every step that we take, He overshadows us. We are covered by our covenant promise. We are covered by the covenant that Christ Jesus instilled and gave us that night that He was betrayed at that, what we now know as the Last Supper.